Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week is Parsha Zohar. Very interesting Haftorah coming up today. The action-packed. A Parsha Zohar is considered a Torah mitzvah. It's the one time a year where even if a person has good reasons for not being in the synagogue, they should try to get to the shul for the Parsha Zohar. That's considered the... And this is the Haftorah of that message. It's a little bit of a deep Haftorah. In some ways, it's very sad, the Haftorah, because the first king was King Shaul HaMelech, and this was his downfall. And it's so interesting what happened to him. In a nutshell, he was too perfect, if you could say such a thing. We're going to see when Shaul was chosen. And again, it's so refreshing, you know, like you listen to the presidential, you know, I'm the greatest, I'm the best. He said, you know, he hid. He said he didn't want the job. You know, he was the most humble person. When they went to coronate him, he disappeared. You know, when he's, you know, his uncle asked him, what did the prophet tell you? He said, oh, nothing. He's, you know, he was a very humble person. And part of the message of the Haftorah was that humility is, you know, we're supposed to be humble. The greatest Jew was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most humble. But on the other hand, when you need somebody to be a leader, you can't always be humble. You have to sometimes, the people were pushing him not to destroy Amalek. There were many people who said, oh, it's such a shame to waste such good sheep. They waste the money, you know, it's not night, you know. There were people that, there always be people like that, right? There were people that were pushing him, and he just couldn't, he gave in. The other part was that we, thank God, don't have this mitzvah, meaning that it's very difficult to go and murder men, women, and children. That's what God said, I want you to go and do it. And we have no... The problem with Gentiles are they like to extrapolate, you know. Oh, well, you see in the Bible... No, this was a message from God that this nation had to be wiped out. And Shaul just couldn't do it. He just took pity on them. Now, we have a tradition that a person is given the right measure of mercy and justice that they need. A person is given certain qualities from Hashem to use. And he used up his mercy on Amalek. He went and fought, you know, Amalek is Hitler and the butchers and mass murder. They attacked the handicapped people that were going after the camp. And they cut off private parts and they, awful, awful people, Amalek. You can't get worse if you read about Amalek. They are just the worst, you know. And somehow, in wiping them out, he took pity on them. So what happened? David HaMelech is running away from him a few years later, and he was starving, because when you're running away, he didn't have a chance to get food, he didn't have things to hunt, he had nothing with him. So he stops by at the tabernacle where the Kohanim are, and he tells them, I'm starving, can you give me any food? And they give him some food. And then David continues on his way, and Shaul, who was always... what do you call that when you're suspicious of people? Paranoid. He was paranoid. And he said, aha, they must be in cahoots with David against me. And he slaughtered the city of Kohanim. And so here he should have been merciful. And instead, because if you use your mercy in the wrong place, where he needed it, God gave a person that quality to take pity. And he should have used it on the priest and said, you know, I guess I understand. If I look at it from their perspective, how were they to know that David was, you know, running away from me? As far as they knew, David was my son-in-law, was on good. They had no way of knowing that David was rebelling against the king. But he didn't use his mercy over there. He used it in the wrong place. And so it's such a shame. You know, here you have Shaul being so humble and so merciful, which are great qualities. But when he used them in Amalek to allow evil to flourish, they're not great qualities. And sometimes, you know, that's such a message, you know, the in the sometimes you run across this in the world where people want, you know, there's mass murderers and terrible people, and so people have nothing better to do than try to get them saved or get them... evil has to be wiped out sometimes. That's the only way to stop it. But at any rate, let's begin. So Shmuel, the prophet, the one who anointed Shaul, said, Osi Shalach Hashem L'moshe L'melech Al Ama V'al Yisrael. I was appointed to make you the king. You're the man who has the job. Va'ata Shemai L'kol Divrei Hashem. And now listen to what Hashem says. This is the message. Verse 2. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvachos. This is said by Hashem. Now this word Tzvachos is the name of God that refers to the multitudes. Remember, the word Tzva means army. When you go to Tzva, you go to army. Whenever it uses Hashem's name, it means Hashem is the God of the millions and the billions and the trillions. That's the word Tzvachos. This is what Hashem says. Bekadati Esesher Asa Amolek Yisrael. Amolek did this dastardly deed where they attacked all the stragglers, the handicapped, who was going behind the camp? The people with young children, new babies, and people who were older who couldn't walk so fast. That's who Amolek attacked. And we weren't enemies of Amalek. Amalek just did it in spite, you know, just because. That was Amalek. Asher Samlo Baderek, that he attacked us when we were going out from Egypt. Va'ata, verse 3, and now, Lake Vakesias Amalek, go and destroy Amalek. Ve'ekram Tamas Kolesho, and don't keep anything. Very important mitzvah. You know, Jews, it's hard to wait. You know, there were some beautiful sheep and flocks and other gold, silver, other kind of stuff. It's very hard for us to let go, you know, to let all that wealth go to waste. It was a very hard mitzvah. Hashem said, go and don't keep a penny, because this nation was corrupt and everything they had was corrupted. And we don't want to touch it. Velo tachmo, it's interesting because in the Megillah, which is coming up, Mordechai said the same thing. When we fought against Haman, we didn't touch any of the booty. You know, people, when they go to war, you got to pay the soldiers, right? You know, and no, he said, we're not touching any of
that. Joshua's army, they never took, well,
one person did, right, that's correct.
But they weren't supposed to.
That's right. Well, it corrupts an army to allow that kind of thing. V'lo tach malav v'mentem ishad ishi years to kill man, women, ma'ola. Now, this is the thing. Shaul's going to argue maybe he didn't understand the command. If you look at verse 3, it's pretty clear. You know, man, women, children, mishor, vatzah, sheep, ox, migomel, al-chamur, donkeys, you know, the whole shebang. There's really nothing left out of that verse. Like, it's hard to figure. I'll tell you how he weaseled out of some of it, but the verse is pretty clear. Verse 4, Yishma Shaul Esa'am. So Shaul said, okay, we got a mitzvah, let's do it. They didn't have a standing army. Jewish people never had a standing army. They just, when they needed volunteer, they just called everybody and they came to war. He called the people Yukidem Betoim. And he also, you see, the Torah says we don't count Jews. 1, 2, 3, we're never supposed to look at people like statistics. We're always supposed to realize that each person is a whole world. You know, you're sitting next to somebody, you know, the world is, we have no idea how the world works. The whole world might be existing for that person you're sitting next to. We don't view people as numbers. We have no way of knowing. In Hashem's book, the struggles of any one person might be make the whole world worthwhile. We really don't know. So to just say, oh, it's just another number, another person, or they're old anyways, they only have a few more years to live, or a few more, that's, you know, in God's book, we don't know how to value, we don't count. We don't count people, we don't count time. Life is precious, people are precious. So what he did was he counted them by taking sheep. Each one, he had a flock of sheep each. It sounds like a funny way to do it. Couldn't you find something easier than taking a sheep? But each soldier picked up a sheep, and then as they joined the army to go fight, they took a sheep and put it in the corral, and then he counted all the sheep. And they had this is a nice amount of men, 200,000 men. Now Yehuda was counted separate because they were Yehuda was always a shock tribe, was always. Just a very, like the, they're compared to the lion. They were just like their own independent, you know. First of all, they had their own unique style, and also they were very fierce and very, so they, even over here where they were separate, which is just interesting, because this was way before the kingdom split, you see that Yehuda was counted separate. You know, he says 200,000 regular Jews and 10,000 of Yehuda. By the way, we're from Yehuda, by the way. We're all, that's why we're called Jews, Judah. We're 90%. I mean, we have a little bit of Benjamites and a few, you know, of some of the other tribes. But as a whole, we're, most of our DNA comes from Yehuda. That's what makes us who we are. That's the, but Yehuda was a unique tribe, and so he's counted separate. Verse 5. Vayavu Shaul Adir Amalek, Vayarav, and he comes to the city of Amalek, and, it's, he says that he goes down into the valley. That's a funny word, going down into the valley. We're not given any other geography. The word Vayarev also means to struggle. And the tradition has it that he was fighting the command to destroy all of Amalek. In other words, before he started, he was looking for a way out. He just couldn't bring himself to kill everybody. And he actually brought Torah proofs. The Torah itself is very sensitive to human life, even of that of our enemies and of idol worshippers, and he struggled with it. Verse 6, so the first thing he did in his struggle to save whoever he could, he didn't want any collateral damage, which, of course, that's the Jewish way. I can't tell you how many Jewish soldiers have been killed because we give them warnings. You know, the Arabs, whenever we would fight against them, we would always try to help the civilians. So Shaul tells there were other tribes in the Middle East. They always have these tribes always living amongst. So he tells the Cani, he said, "Lahu Surah, you better move out away from Amalek, because in a time of war, there may be collateral damage. And you should know that we always remember, if someone does us a favor, we always remember that your tribe is a good friend of ours. Because when we left Egypt, the Yosser Cani Mitas, so they moved out of Amalek. The Cani were one of Yisro's descendants. It's interesting. Yisro had ended up being a lot of different tribes that came from Yisro. Some of them converted to Judaism. Some of them just stopped worshiping idols, but they didn't fully embrace Judaism. Today there are tribes in the Middle East that think they're descended from Yisro. Some of the Bedouins. It's very difficult to know.
The Druze.
The Druze. Maybe with the Druze, yeah. Verse 6. V'yak Sholos Amalek. So Shaul does what he's commanded, and he wages this master battle. Mekvila boyacha shur es tashapani, and it's a large area he covers. Verse 8. Now he does a strange thing. He leaves the king alive, so it's not clear why he does this. Some people feel that maybe he planned on killing him later. Some people feel that he was commanded to wipe out the nation of Amalek, but not the leader, not the king. Other people feel that there's some kind of etiquette that they had in those days where they left the leader alive, like the leader was different than the people. But either way, they grabbed the king alive, and the people were wiped out. I would just say there's an interesting medrash that Paro survived the Pesach. He survived the splitting of the sea. And some people say he survived because this way nobody else would have believed it. But he would tell the story, you know, he was the Paro, like what happened, you know, so that he was left alive. But it's just a strange kind of thing. But he left the king alive. Now who else did he leave? Verse 9, Yachmo Shaul La'am al Agag. They took pity on Agag, misplaced pity, Valmeta Vatzon, and the really good sheep, you know. To destroy the, you know, plain everyday sheep, but those really sheep, that's such a shame. Valbakar, Mashana, the Valkarim, Valkol Tov, Valavah the Kriv, they just couldn't bring themselves to throw it away. Mekol Malacha Nimzasa. And the only thing that they destroyed was like the stuff that they had no use for anyways. Venimasov the Kriv, but that's what they burnt. So what's really interesting, and this is kind of scary, is the Shaul thought he did everything the way he was supposed to. And he was sure that he would get a big Yeshua Koyach for this. He was sure that the prophet would see him and he'd say, "All right, you know, you did wonderful." Like, and what's really scary is because sometimes we also think that we did a big mitzvah and then we find out maybe we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We always have to hope that we do what we're supposed to do. So this is Shaul. Now, meanwhile, Hashem comes to Shmuel. V'yidvar Hashem o Shmuel Emor. And this is very strong. He says, Nechamti. Our very first king, our very first dynasty, Hashem says, "I changed my mind. Forget it. No good. Nechamti ki emlachti Shaul. I changed my mind that I picked Shaul lemelech. Ki shav machure, because he's gone away from me. Ves devore lo hekim. And he doesn't follow my word. And that was the message that Shmuel got. Now, this was Shmuel's accomplishment. This was his whole life. His goal was to find leadership to take over after he died. And he found Shaul, who was wonderful, who was great, was heroic. I mean, we can't imagine a leader like Shaul. Hashem told Shaul that you're going to die in this battle, and he goes and he fights the battle anyways to save as many Jewish lives as he can. You know, that's Shaul was a great person. He might have had some mental challenges. Who doesn't? You know, that's in other words, Hashem gave him like his demons. I don't know how he gave him like a ruach ra, like a evil, a spirit came on him. Today there are chemical reasons that people get, you know, it's very difficult to judge people because sometimes they have chemical reasons that they're depressed or that they are short with people. It's not who they are, it's just sometimes people get it when they're elderly too. They can get a certain, you know, but it's very, like I said, Shaul had that too, but that didn't, that wasn't who he was. At a certain point in his life he got that Ruach Ra, that evil, you know, demons, or however you want to phrase it. And that was his challenge, to deal with it or not deal with it. But at any rate, Hashem came to Shmuel and he said, that's it, we had enough of Shaul. Now, it's interesting what Shmuel does. Does Shmuel say, okay, God, that's fine, who's next? He doesn't do that. He says, V'yizek al Hashem, the entire night he cried out to God and said, maybe you change your mind. He's really pretty good. Are you sure you want to do, you know, the entire night he dove into Hashem to see if Hashem would maybe, Hashem is merciful, right? It's never too late. Hashem says, I changed my mind. He said, wait a second, Hashem, maybe we could still do this. Maybe it'll work, you know. The entire night Shmuel davened, and it didn't go. Verse 12, Ayashkim Shmuel Ikra Shol Baboker. And Shmuel woke up to greet Shaul. In the morning of Yuga, the Shmuel Lemor. And they told Shmuel, saying, Bo Shaul went to Karmavin, Matziv Lo Yad. And Shmuel is told that Shaul thinks he did a good job. V'yav already went to see him through the Gilgal. V'yavu Shmuel Lo Shaul, V'yomer Lo Shaul. Now let's see what Shaul says to Shmuel. This is what he says. Verse 13. He says, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Atol Hashem, blessed are you to the Almighty, Hakimosi Estvar Hashem. I kept the word of God. This is what Shaul thought he was going to get the biggest reward over here. He brags about it. Look, I did everything I was supposed to. You told me I had to go to war and I had to wipe them out. And look what I did. Baruch Hashem, I did the mitzvah. Right? That's the way he felt. So verse 14. It's also interesting, Shmuel's response. V'yomer Shmuel. Meh kol hatzon hazeh. Oh yeah? What's that sound that I hear? What's the bleeding of the sheep? Baznei, that's in my ears. V'kol ha'boker. What's the noise of the cows? Asher nohu shomeya. What's that? You said, you just told me you kept the word of Hashem. What do I hear? So let's see what Shaul answers. V'yomer Shaul. Oh, he says, Ma'amalech ha'viyam asher chomol ha'am. First he blames the people. He said, it wasn't my fault, it was their fault. Some of the people couldn't bring themselves to destroy all of the booty, so they kept them alive. We have a tradition, by the way, that the Amalekim hid themselves in the animals. They hid themselves in the flocks. So there were Amalekim that were spared because they were in the, you know, they hid amongst the animals. That's how they survived, was they hid. But the people spared these animals. And they spared, you know, people will sin and they throw in a religious thing to make their sin feel better. They said, you know, oh, what's the reason we didn't listen to God and destroy all? Oh, it's because, you know, we'll bring some nice sacrifices to Hashem. You know, we'll have some nice lamb chops. You know, we'll do this right. As a Yosef Chima, we did most of the mitzvah, right? We did it mostly right. So this is bad news. It's interesting. I saw somebody point out the way they read that word in verse 14, meh, it has a note on it. It's not read quickly. It could, the sound that sheep make is like meh. In other words, the meh, the actual way they read it is, there's a pause there under the meh. What's that noise? Meh. That's the sound that the sheep actually make. If you listen carefully, that's in the Haftorah. It's interesting also, though, Shmuel was very respectful. He didn't, This was a very hard message. The king was told that he was meant to rule, and then it's not one of those things that you could pull back and say, okay, your job's finished. You can't, you know, once you're the king, that means that you are required to rule and be in charge. So how do you pull it back? So, V'yomu Shmuel al-Shol, he says, he says, all right, I have a message that Hashem spoke to me tonight. That gives a person a chance to calm down. He says, go ahead. Tell me what God says. Listen to this, verse 17. V'yomu Shmuel. And Shmuel says to them, "Halo im katna tavenecha. In your own eyes, if you feel you're small, if you're humble, but that works for yourself. But rosh shifte Yisrael ata. You're the head of the Jewish people. For Yemashka Hashem lemelech, and you're the king. You have no right to back down when people are doing wrong. Yeshlech Hashem bederech. Hashem sent you and appointed you for this job. Yomer leik ve'kramti eslechatoyim ve'samalech." And you were told to totally wipe them out. Until you finish the job. Verse 19. Lama shlo shamata b'kol Hashem. Why didn't you listen to Hashem's voice? V'tat el shalal. And instead you were thinking about the booty. V'tas harab einei Hashem. And you've done evil in Hashem's eyes. That's the message that Hashem gave him. What a strong message. Psychologists say there are many of them that and you'll hear that often, that one of the big problems that some people have is self-esteem. That if a person doesn't have a strong self-esteem, he doesn't realize that he was created by Hashem and he's in the divine image, person can do terrible things if they don't realize their own greatness. Right? If they don't realize who they are. What you are important. Hashem created you. It makes a difference what you do. So there are some people, they think, oh, I'm not good anyways. It doesn't make a difference. It's not important. I'm not important. That's all self-esteem. In a certain way, that's what he was saying to Shmuel was saying to Shaul. He says, you were small in your own eyes. Do you think what you do doesn't matter? Hello, katan veinecha. Are you small? In other words, you're not supposed to be small in your own eyes. A person is supposed to realize that Hashem made you. You know, the creator of the world gives you life for a purpose. It's not right to have low self-esteem. A person shouldn't think that they're not important and it doesn't matter. It does matter. Verse 20. So again, Shaul tries to defend himself. Very hard to defend yourself against God. he says, Asher shemata b'kol Hashem. He says, no, I did listen to God's voice. Ve'elech b'derech asher shulcha, and I went in the right path. Ve'avi esagag, and I brought the king. Ve'samolach, I did everything. Verse 21, ve'yikha ka'am, just some of the people sinned. Meshulau tzonabachu, reishim lezvach l'ashem l'gogol. So now, sometimes a person, we're going to see this. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. We don't believe anybody's above mistakes. We don't believe in that. Anybody tells you they don't make mistakes or their leader doesn't make mistakes, or we run far away from those kind of people. Everybody makes mistakes. But the question is, how do you deal with those mistakes? We're going to see David HaMelech also made mistakes, but when he was told about it, he admitted his mistakes. Shaul made his mistake and he keeps trying to justify it. Then you got real trouble. And again, it's just the human nature that people, you know, they want to justify. But that's a problem. And so it gets worse. So let's see the answer. Verse 22. Vayomar Shmuel. So this, listen. And these words, they resonate. This is not just a message for what happened with Shaul. It's a message to us. He says, Hachafetz l'Hashem ba'oz esvachim. Do you think that Hashem wants sacrifices? Kishmoya b'kol Hashem. Like he wants you just to listen to him? In other words, Shaul told him, I had this great idea. Let's save some of the sheep and do this, and we'll bring sacrifices. That's not what Hashem wanted. He wants you to listen to him. He doesn't. Does he want all those offerings? He wants you to listen to his commandments. Hinei shomea, it's better to listen than to have a really nice big fat cow. The important thing is to listen and do what Hashem wants, not to do what you want, even offerings, which were what is one way to get close to Hashem, it's even more important to follow Hashem's command. Verse 23, Kichatos kesem meri. When you go away from Hashem, it's bitter. Va'avon terafim hafsir. It's a difficult translation. And when a person goes away from Hashem, it's like idolatry. It's like they're worshiping something else. Yan Master, because you have disgusted the word of Hashem, Hashem is disgusted from you being king. It's really strong here. Verse 24. Yom Shol Lashmol. So now he finally gets it. He finally realizes he's in trouble. I mean, it took a little while, right? So he says, okay, Chatasi. Now, by the way, Chatasi means I sinned by mistake. I made a mistake. Sometimes a person needs to admit that it's more than a mistake. You know, chatos means like, well, I guess I didn't realize it. No, you knew what you were doing. Ki avarti, because I had gone against Espi Hashem. I went against the word of Hashem, besivara, and I didn't keep it. Ki resi asam. He says, he's finally hearing it. You know, I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of public opinion. I was afraid of, you know, they said this is the right thing. I wanted to be popular with them. And I listened to the people instead of listening to the word of Hashem. And that's such a strong strong reference here. So verse 25. So he's still asking over here. He still wants to be forgiven. He still wants to... Va'atoa now. You know, it's not so bad what I did. You can forgive it this time. And it's interesting. What does he say? Please come back with me. Vishuva imi. I need you to come back with me to save face. Like, you know, if you, the prophet, are not going to be with me, I won't be so popular. I still need you. It's like, it's almost he feels weak. He's worried about appearances over here. He says, please, he says, Shuvimi, come back with me for the ceremony. Vishtachu Lashem. He's like, it's almost pitiful over here that he's holding on to this. V'yomer 20, it doesn't say, V'yomer Shmuel Oshol Lo Hashem. I'm not going with you. Ki Masta Hashem Dvar Hashem. You didn't keep the word of Hashem. Maska Hashem, Hashem doesn't want you to be king anymore. Now, you have to understand that Shmuel cried the whole night that Hashem shouldn't. Shmuel loved Shol, but this was the word of Hashem.
Do you think that he felt maybe the way Moshe prayed and begged for us, that he could do the same thing?
Absolutely. But sometimes, apparently, we're going to see, apparently he didn't, even when he admitted the sin, he only talked about making a mistake. He didn't realize that it went deeper than that. And even when he's admitting the sin, he's still putting the people first. He's still saying, okay, I sinned, but just please come back with me and go and show, you know, show everybody that we're buddies. You know, it's like there's a certain weakness there. Now, there's an idea that when there's a command from Hashem and it's just in words, sometimes Hashem will go back on words. But if the command was given with an action, then that makes the prophecy much stronger. And so over here, we're going to see there's an action to it. Hashem said that the kingdom was going to be torn away from Shaul. Shaul was the first king, and now it was taken away from him, and now we're going to have an action. So what happens is that Shaul is saying, Shmuel, no, don't leave me. And he grabs him on the garment, and it tears. And he grabs him by the garment, and it tears. And then Shmuel turns around and says, "Vayomer lo Shmuel, kara Hashem is up. Hashem has torn away from you the kingdom, just like you tore my garment. Now Hashem has torn away from you the kingdom of Israel. Hayom unasa lerecha to mimenu, mimeka, and he's given it to your friend who's better than you. And it was going to be given to David. But again, it's sad. Except it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy that Shaul, as great as he was, couldn't continue. But on the other hand, it sets a goal for kings that they do the right thing and not be influenced by the people. And it speaks it out over here, verse 29. For some reason, this verse always stuck with me. It's like such a v'gam. Listen to this verse. The word netzach. Isn't there a synagogue, Netzach Yisrael? Isn't that
the
Persian or the breakaway? It's called Netzach Yisrael. I don't know. Netzach means eternity, the eternity of Israel. It's a beautiful sounding, you know, Netzach means like the Jewish people is eternal. The eternity of Israel, lo yishaker. Shaul wanted that Hashem should just be able to overlook this. Just overlook it. It's not such a big deal. And so that's what Shmuel, that's what Shaul wanted. So Shmuel says, no, Netzach Yisrael, this is for keeps. This is about Jewish leadership. And it's about eternity. The leader of the Jewish people is going to be the Mashiach that's going to lead us throughout our history. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir. The eternity of Israel can't be false. We can't overlook something wrong. I can't pretend it doesn't exist. For the lo yinochem, man, we can't just ignore things. Ki lo adam hu lanai. He's not a person. People forget things. They can ignore things. What basically is happening here is that Shaul said, yeah, I'm sorry, but it wasn't real sincere. It didn't go deep enough. And he's saying, if you don't really apologize, you don't really realize what's wrong, the sin can't just be ignored. The Yomar, so finally he's still getting it. He says, Chatosi. He says, yeah, you're right. I guess I really goofed, Chatosi. But then he says, Ata Chavdeni Neba, please come with me together with the elders. So he's still he's just so weak. He just needs this. He needs Shmuel to be with him. We're going to see later on that after Shmuel dies, he needs him so much that he tries to bring him up in a seance because he feels. He just needed him. It's just so interesting. He became very dependent on, he wanted him, for the right reason. Shmuel was a great person, but there's a certain weakness over here that he needs to have him with him. This time he agrees, and he said, Yeshev Shmuel Achrei Shaul, and Shmuel goes behind Shaul, Vishachvu Shaul Hashem, and he bows down to Hashem. So again, that's the story of Amalek. If Amalek wasn't destroyed, it means that throughout generations there's evil that exists, and we have to. Our job is to uproot the evil, and it exists in different forms. But it wasn't meant to be that it would be totally destroyed then. But there still is plenty of evil in the world that we have to work on uprooting, and that's part of Parsha Zohar. So, Vayomer Shmuel Hagisho Elai Esagag. So Shmuel says, okay, he wants the mitzvah. So he says, bring to me Agag Melech Amalek. Bring me the king. V'yeichalav, and they brought Agag. Ma'adnus. Then they brought him in chains. V'yomer, Agag, achein sar mar mimavis. So there's a big debate here what this means. One view was that if you ever saw a Jewish sage, they look so incapable of doing anything mean. In other words, if you see an executioner, like there's certain people that you meet on the subway or whatever, and you get scared because you know these are people that would think nothing of human life or nothing of somebody else. There's a certain, you know, they have certain kind of tattoos and certain kind of way of carrying themselves that you just know that if you cross them, you're going to be in big trouble. So, but then if you meet like a sage, you know, a sweet, old, sagely, you know, person, so one view is that Agag thought, oh, you know, they took him and they brought him to this elderly rabbi. He said, oh, good, now he's home free. And boy, is he going to be surprised. That's one view. The other view is that he realized that the rabbi meant business. You know, the king. Here, Shaul HaMelech, who's a warrior, and Agag got away, you know, somehow talked him out of it. But he wasn't, this elderly rabbi knew we had to eradicate evil. So, V'yomer Shmuel. And Shmuel tells him, he says, Kasher Shichalta Nashim Charbecha. Agag had destroyed many many men and many families, had ruined people's lives. Think of all the women and children, and he says people's children and the families were wiped out, were butchered. Cain Tishachem Enoshi Mecha, and now your mother also is going to be going to lose her child. I don't know if the mother was still alive. I don't know the symbolism there, unless maybe the idea that he had no pity. In other words, here's Agag, who was this barbaric king who never took pity. You know, he didn't care about women, he didn't care about children, he didn't care. And he said, well, when a person doesn't take pity, so when it comes time for him to be killed, there's no room for pity either. Vayistav Shmuel Esagag, and so he goes and he slices him up, Lifnei Hashem. And don't think he was being brutal. It says Lifnei Hashem. This was like he was serving the Almighty. He knew that Hashem wanted us to destroy Amalek and Gilgal, and that's what he did. Vayelik Shmuel HaRamasa, and then Shmuel went to Ramasa, Vesho Olo Beso, give a show, and they never saw each other after that. That was the, so that's the, it's somewhat of the, again, the tragedy over here, but just the message of a person has to be true to the serving of Hashem and not being bribed, not listening to, sometimes a person knows what's right and he allows himself to be talked into things. But they know in their heart what's right. And so in a certain way, that's what happened with Shaul, that he's, well, you know, but he knew, he was told, but he just couldn't, he couldn't be forceful enough. And so that was the message. Part of destroying Amalek is that sometimes you got to do what you got to do, even if it's not pleasant. Because the eternity of Israel is Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker. The eternity of Israel will not be false. Okay.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.